What is God's purpose for marriage? How should we respond when traditional marriage is openly mocked as irrelevant? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Your Marriage by God's Design. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guests Scott and Julie Stiegemeyer. You can find out more about Your Marriage by God's Design at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your Marriage by God's Design, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
If being human isn't what gives me the duty to treat an animal properly, tell me what does.
We have this idea of what it's like to live out the American dream, and maybe that's not God's dream for humanity.
When I was out in L.A. and I was like kind of struggling for a bit, I went to church for a while, but there's a band there now, and you have to hold hands with people through the whole mass now. This is too much for me. I want the old way.
It's poison because it takes off the issue of whether Christianity is true or not. If it isn't true, I don't care if it works. Lots of stuff works.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
Many struggle every day. They're trying to find out, they're trying to think of what it means to live the Christian life. And there's no shortage of advice out there. There's no shortage of people who are willing to tell you exactly what your Christian life ought to look like. Now, I think people just make it too complicated. They come up with kind of complex theological theories about the Christian life that only the academic can understand, or they come up with a simple to-do list. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. This is how you be a father or a mother or a husband or a wife or whatever it is you are. Now, maybe that's where we should begin. What you are, where God has put you. We're going to be talking about the Christian life of vocation with Pastor Peter Bender here in the first hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this, let's see, it's Monday afternoon, the 3rd of March. A little bit later, we're going to spend some time with Wendy Wright of Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute talking about the FDA's decision to make the generic form of the morning after pill Plan B even more accessible over-the-counter with no age restrictions whatsoever. That means, you know, the label says you should be 17 to take the thing, but you don't have to prove it. You don't even have to mention your age. You can still buy this abortifacient right over the calendar, right over the counter. And the FDA says that's just fine. Pastor Tom Baker will join us a little bit after that. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, as we do every week, The Temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. He's host of a show called Law and Gospel. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy at Sussex, Wisconsin. He's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled More Than a Job. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, great to be with you on this fine spring day, the beginning of meteorological spring, and -3 degrees this morning when I drove over to Concordia University to teach my class on Lutheran worship. So you got to love it.
you write in your article, Christian vocation is as radical as the preaching of Christ crucified. What do you mean by that? As radical as preaching Christ crucified?
The preaching of the gospel of Christ crucified is to preach the love of God for poor, miserable, wretched sinners like you and me, who have done nothing and could do nothing to earn our salvation, but who are nonetheless the objects of God's ardent affection and love in Christ, and for whom Christ shed his blood upon the cross by willingly and freely taking our sin and the sin of the whole world upon himself. That is as radical a calling as one can possibly articulate, and that is the calling of our Lord. That was his vocation. Why did he die for you and make satisfaction for your sin? His great love for the Father and for us and other sinners. That's what the Catechism says in the Christian Questions. And that's what shapes Christian vocation. It's not chiefly about a job. It's about faith. in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, the sinner. And he did it freely and willingly, and it was his joy to do it. And that's the faith in that Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us is a radical faith, and it shapes the way in which we live in our station in life toward one another.
You use that term station in life. That's, I think, a preferred term of the 16th century reformer Martin Luther's when he discusses the issue of vocation, the issue of where God has put you, what God has made you. He uses that term, station in life. Explain it.
Yeah, we have talked about this before in our week-long series on vocation, and it nuances the whole understanding of vocation. Most people tend to lump vocation and office all together and station in life together. So that my vocation is a husband, wife, father, mother, son, daughter, worker, and so forth. But this idea of station, everybody has a station in life, whether they're a believer in Christ or not. Husbands out there, believers and unbelievers alike. Wives out there, believers and unbelievers alike, and so forth. So that's what we mean by station. What is the office that you hold? And the offices, and we may hold several offices, have varying degrees of responsibility and authority associated with them, whether we are believers in Christ or not. But Christian vocation especially is leaning in the direction of the third article of the Creed and being called by the gospel of God's free grace and mercy in Christ, being called to faith in him. And that call of the gospel, that vocation, shapes the way in which we live in our station very uniquely as Christians, so that we're governed in the various stations that we have primarily by the grace of God, which is undeserved toward the sinner, as opposed to living in our station and being governed by a meritorious, works-righteous kind of faith.
So how much of understanding Christian vocation, both in the abstract here, and understanding my Christian vocation, is simply knowing my place?
Well, you know, when we've got this lovely passage in Peter's epistle where he says that we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and I like the old King James much better, a peculiar people, an odd people. And we're odd ducks, Todd, because we believe in the grace of God and salvation by grace and not by merits, not by human works. And so that shapes the way in which we live with one another in the world, particularly with other sinners. And as it was Jesus' greatest joy to die, it becomes our greatest joy and delight to give of ourselves freely to other sinners who don't deserve it and who have not merited it.
Now, you said that this is rooted in the third article of the Creed. That is where Luther famously writes in his catechism, the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. Make it explicit for us, Pastor Bender. What is the relationship between that calling of the Holy Spirit and the calling that we're talking about in Christian vocation? After all, that's what the word means.
Right. Well, in the under the third article of the Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit. The small catechism states, I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. Called me by the good news of God's free grace and salvation in Christ, called me to faith, called me to repentance and faith in Jesus. And that means I believe in this love that I don't deserve. This is my salvation. I believe in this righteousness which Jesus is for me through his death upon the cross, his atonement, his sacrifice for sin. This is what I believe in. This is my life and my salvation. And therefore, the life which I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, that spills over in my relationships with one another. It's something that the Holy Spirit works in us. Also, not by our reason or strength, but by the call of the gospel. So the call of the gospel is not only to faith in Christ, but that faith manifests itself in the same kind of selfless, sacrificial love and mercy toward other sinners as the gospel itself gives to me and to you. And the passage I like to quote a lot in this respect is Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me in the life which I now live in the flesh. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so that it's our faith in Christ that receives his undeserved love and forgiveness, then moves in the other direction out toward the neighbor in love. That's Luther's famous dictum of faith active in love. It's the faith in the grace of God that is undeserved is active in love for other sinners who don't deserve that love either.
So this not deserving part is kind of what you focus on here, initially here in our introduction. This isn't... to what degree is this guided by what Jesus says? His kind of very famous moral maxim, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? If you greet those who greet you, don't even the Gentiles do the same. That kind of maxim.
He's contrasting this. There's two faiths in the world. There's the faith in the grace of God, which is the Christian faith, and there's faith in works righteousness. And what Jesus is talking about there is faith in works righteousness. What governs the natural man? What governs the old Adam? You do things nice for me, Todd. Hey, let me take you out to dinner, you know? It's tit for tat. Yeah, on the other hand, if you do something bad to me, well, you punch me on this cheek, I'll turn the other. I'll punch you back. I won't turn the other cheek. So those are the two faiths that are operative. And Christian vocation is governed by faith in the grace of God as opposed to the merits or worthiness. So to whom do we extend our love? You know, it's easy to extend the love to someone that you like, to someone that has pleased you, to someone who has done something for you. That's not really love. It's certainly not the love that is incarnate in our Lord Jesus. The passage of St. Paul from Romans, you know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of Christ is the love of the Good Samaritan, who was the enemy of that Jew, and yet he comes to the fallen Jew on the side of the road and befriends him. Now, that's a radical kind of love, again, as radical as the preaching of Christ crucified himself.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll talk more with him about the Christian life of vocation on this Monday afternoon, the 3rd of March. He is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled More Than a Job. In the course of our conversation, we are going to talk extensively with Pastor Bender about someone who says, look, my life is near its end. I'm sitting here in a nursing home. Have I lost my vocation? We'll be right back.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Carpet. Hardwood. Tile, stone, laminate, you name it, they've got it at Vallo Floor Coverings in Edwardsville. Vallo's offers competitive pricing, a knowledgeable sales staff to help you with product selection, and name brands like Shaw, Congoleum, Mohawk, Florida Tile, and more. Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or vallofloor.com.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Bible isn't about you. It's about what Jesus has done for you.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I'm going to take 3 to 4 of the most popular misquoted evangelical proof texts and demonstrate from the text themselves that if you read yourself into them, you not only miss the point, you miss the comfort of the cross. And so I'm going to tell you the better story that these texts actually tell you when you put them back into context.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against me-centered, misquoted scriptures June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Welcome back. We're talking about the Christian life of vocation on this Monday afternoon, March 3rd. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. One of the things I realized recently about this is, there's a lot of advice, both kind of popular advice and theological advice when it comes to the Christian life. Pastor Bender, a lot of it strikes me as distinctly abstract. It's to be fair, it's theoretical. But the doctrine of vocation doesn't really even permit that for us in our lives, does it? I mean, there are particular neighbors that help show us our vocation, with whom we live in our vocation. Very little abstraction going on there.
Well, that's right. And that's why the table of duties in the Small Catechism is talking about husbands, wives, parents, children, workers, employers. Those are stations in life, offices that everybody, on the one hand, immediately understands, but on the other hand, struggles in, particularly because of our sin and the sin of others with whom we are associated. I'm absolutely convinced Paul's thorn in the flesh, you know, was the struggle with sin. We could all say, as ministers, it would be a lot easier to be a pastor if I didn't have this problem of sin, my own weaknesses. It'd be a lot easier to be a husband if I didn't have this sinful flesh. And then it'd be a lot easier to love other people if they weren't so, you know, wretchedly nasty and mean to me. So that gets pretty concrete. But what Christian vocation is about is the wonderful call of the gospel to live in mercy, praying for those who spitefully use us and abuse us, letting go of the sins of others against us, praying for those, bearing patiently under the cross of affliction the failings of others. And you have this all over the epistles. Whether Paul's talking about marriage in 1 Corinthians 7, or the Apostle Peter is talking about vocation in his first epistle, there are references to spouses living a life of kind of self-denial and quietness as a Christian with an unbelieving and overbearing spouse. And their quiet demeanor, their life of prayer and faithful service, certainly not done because the overbearing spouse deserves it, but that life of forbearance and patience and love and mercy extended to that unbelieving spouse becomes an enfleshment of the gospel itself. And both Paul and Peter say that they're instrumental in the conversion of those who otherwise don't believe in Christ.
Now, you've said this before, but I want you to explain it clearly, because we've talked about vocation in terms of your station in life, in terms of your neighbor, in terms of the everyday calling. But you say that to understand our vocation simply as the office you hold, the station in life where God has put you, or even simply in terms of the neighbor, doesn't get to the heart of that vocation. You've been driving at this in the course of the last 20 minutes or so. You say it doesn't even begin with Bible passages that describe what we are to do. What do you mean?
Well, I think the argument can be made that since only Christians believe in Christ, only they have this understanding of vocation, and our station in life as Christians becomes the the location and workshop of the Holy Spirit, where He teaches us through the things that we suffer within ourselves, our own sinful weaknesses, and the things that we suffer from the sins of others against us. He teaches us in a very practical, day-to-day way what it means to live by faith in the grace of God and not by our own merits, what it means to live by faith in the righteousness of God and not our own merits, what it means to love not because a person deserves it, but because that's what Christ has done for us. And I had a colleague some 10 years ago that has gone on to be with the Lord that echoed Luther's words that the vocation, a person's vocation, is the cross upon which the old Adam is crucified. And Paul is confessing that in that 2 Corinthians 12 passage about this thorn in the flesh, and he besought the Lord to remove it, you know, remove the sin and so forth. But he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So then he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And what happens then is that the grace of God received by us as Christians, and then the Spirit of God brings this forth in us toward other sinners, it can have wonderfully salutary effects. Maybe not. Sometimes it's rejected as Jesus was rejected, but then we rejoice and we are exceedingly glad, for great is our reward in heaven. But sometimes it bears abundant fruit, and just as it was Jesus and the angels' joy when one sinner repents, it's our delight and joy when someone who maybe didn't believe in Christ learns to understand and know His love by receiving it from us in our vocation.
So are you saying, Pastor Bender, that I can't claim to live by God's grace with respect to God, but by merit with respect to my neighbor?
Correct. Yeah, it becomes a denial. This is the parable of the unmerciful servant. He has a debt that is enormous. It is incalculable. It is beyond his capacity to be able to ever pay for in a lifetime. And he cries out to the master for mercy, and the mercy forgives him that debt. And then he turns around and goes out and finds a fellow servant who owes him a mere pittance by comparison, grabs him by the throat and says, you know, pay me everything that you owe. He has denied the faith. He has denied faith in the gospel. And you have that in the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that's the real nitty-gritty of life, the life which we now live. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And to claim to live by faith in the grace of God for our own salvation, but to harbor the grudge, to bear the chip on the shoulder, to demand the pound of flesh, the tit for tat, is a complete 180-degree denial of that. Now, the old Adam in us, Todd, is doing that all the time. It's the old Adam in us is an unbeliever. He's a heretic, and he's a works-righteous fellow. He's going to fight against that grace of God always, and that's why our vocation becomes, and the station in life that we have, the place where the old Adam is crucified daily, and we confess our sins, and we flee daily to the unending and superabundant mercy of God in Christ. And that becomes the beginning of our faith, the end of our faith, the beginning of our vocation, the end of our vocation, the source of our loves for others.
So should we expect to find among those neighbors that God has given us in our vocations, even our own enemies?
Sure, absolutely. And what did Jesus do for his enemies? He prayed for them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. And so we commend them to God. We treat them as honestly and forthrightly and as compassionately as we would our dearest friend, whom we love. And that's a radical kind of thing. That's as radical as the preaching of Christ and Him crucified.
That kind of, you know, often when we talk about vocation here on Issues, et cetera, we do tend to emphasize the liberating nature, because so many of our listeners have found that to be the case, that rather than the house rules or the self-imposed rules of American Christianity, they find their, this really is about, this really is about my neighbor, his needs, and the simple tasks that God lays before me every day in my neighbor to be done, always done and completely. But it sounds like what we ought to talk about also is the fact that vocation isn't easy. Vocation's incredible. It's the hardest thing God gives us to do. Your thoughts on that with a minute here before we take our break.
Yeah, because it's the hardest, because it's the place where we feel that unbelieving, works righteous old Adam the most. But it is the source of joy and delight for God to forgive us, and He wants us to delight in receiving that forgiveness. And then by His grace and Spirit, He brings forth that same kind of love and mercy toward others. It's never complete in this life. It's never perfect in this life. But we keep pressing on, forgetting what lies behind, and keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus. The singular focus of vocation is Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And when that's our focus, then the Spirit of God, by the gospel that we have received, brings forth the fruits of the Spirit, brings forth the life of love toward the neighbor. That's the faith in Christ active in love. On the one hand, it's not easy. On the one hand, it becomes something, as Paul would say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I'm convinced in the case of the Apostle Paul, for example, that his capacity to be able to preach the gospel over and over and over and over again to those Jewish countrymen in synagogue after synagogue who rejected the message and often persecuted him and made life hell for him on earth, it was made possible precisely because he had experienced and received the grace of God for himself as a former persecutor and enemy. So he's seeing in those whom he is serving exactly what he was. And so he's seeing in those whom he is serving ones who are the objects of God's love in Christ, just as he was as a former persecutor. And that's why he calls himself the chief of sinners, and nevertheless, God chose him to be an example of that grace. And no preacher can preach the gospel, and no Christian can live the gospel unless the preacher and the Christian is receiving the gospel. And that's at the heart of Christian vocation. That's what the third article is all about and why it's placed there. It's the call of the gospel, the enlightenment of the gifts of baptism, the gifts of absolution and the Lord's Supper, the gifts of grace. We can't live for a moment apart from them as Christians.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're talking about the Christian life of vocation. It's Monday, March the 3rd. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
It's here. It's here. It's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903, or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Christian life and vocation. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. For about the next half hour, this conversation continues. Then Wendy Wright of Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute joins us. We're going to be talking about the FDA's decision to increase access to a generic form of the morning after pill, not only increasing access in terms of making it over the counter, but pretty much blowing out any kind of age restrictions there might be on that abortifacient pill. Wendy Wright will join us, then Pastor Tom Baker will teach a Sunday school lesson on Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus. Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled More Than a Job. Peter, before we go on, tell us a little bit about the Concordia Catechetical Academy.
The Concordia Catechetical Academy is this auxiliary of our congregation here in Sussex dedicated to the promotion of Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis to the church at large. And we produce a whole variety of different catechetical materials for both youth and adults, and emphasizing especially creating the culture of catechesis and prayer, the hearing of the Word of God, the confessing of the faith, and living in one's vocation. And we sponsor an annual symposium on catechesis where we have parish pastors giving sample catechetical lessons to, we usually have about 200 in attendance, and probably 70% are laity, 30% pastors. And this year's symposium is Lord Teach Us to Pray, Catechesis on the Lord's Prayer. It's going to be June 18, 19, and 20, and up here in Sussex, Wisconsin.
Folks, you can find out more about the Concordia Catechetical Academy and their symposia as well at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. This is an email from Emmanuel. He says, "Hello, pastors. This question can be answered by any or both of you. I've recently come to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod from Evangelicalism, and the doctrine of vocation is one of the many factors that drew me to the Lutheran faith. How would you say that the doctrine of vocation makes confessional Lutheranism different from other Christian denominations?" How would you describe that, Pastor Bender?
Sure. I would say two things in particular on this question. One is, in American evangelicalism, and it becomes kind of an oxymoron, unfortunately, because evangelical means of the gospel, but unfortunately, all too often, the Christian life, the life of sanctification, vocation, is one that is lived from the law as opposed to by faith in the gospel. So there's a law-oriented focus there of what do I have to do to please God, and what do I have to do to be a faithful disciple of Jesus, and what do I have to do to ensure God's blessings in my life. And that is a very law-oriented, even works-righteous kind of a view of Christian vocation. And it tends toward the idea of the service of love to the neighbor is done for whatever benefit is going to accrue to you, as opposed to it is done for the sake of the gospel itself, even if no benefit accrues to us, and for it's done for the benefit of the neighbor. Christian vocation, therefore, is for us as Lutherans, is solidly placed under the mantle of the everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness of Christ that covers us, and in which we freely move about in the world without fear of judgment, because the judgment has been taken away. We are unhinged from the law to live in loving service to the neighbor out of a vibrant faith in Christ that is constantly receiving his gifts of mercy and forgiveness. That's the first thing I would say about it. Secondly, all too often, there's kind of a new monasticism that can sometimes be associated with evangelicalism, in the sense that there's a separation from the world and living the ordinary life engaged in the world. In our Bible class on Sunday here, we were talking about this with respect to the final chapter of 2 Thessalonians, where St. Paul is admonishing the Thessalonians not to live in idleness or in disorder, disconnected from the world, but to be engaged in the world and to be engaged with unbelievers in the world. And living from faith in Christ and in love to the neighbor there. And sometimes there's an unwillingness. We don't want to be soiled by the world out there. Well, the Christian life is a vigorous life of faith in Christ that engages the world in our particular station, and that's what Christian vocation is all about.
Now, in that vein, I think one of the most helpful insights that any of our guests have ever brought, and many of them have, is, again, another one that I think is well attributed to the 16th century reformer Martin Luther, where he puts it in terms of my works. A Christian is going to produce works because a good tree produces good fruit. But he asks the further question, who needs it? Does God need it? No.
No.
Do I need it? No.
No.
Who needs it then, Pastor Bender?
My neighbor needs it. My neighbor needs my love. You know, the classic story of the rich young man, what must I do to inherit eternal life? His concept of good works, whether it was love to God or love to the neighbor, was to accrue some benefit to myself through these activities and works. And God doesn't need our works. And my works cannot do a thing to save and rescue me. But my neighbor needs my love. And when we think about it in that way, that is exactly how faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us is then lived out very practically in the world.
One thing that we don't often talk about here with respect to Christian vocation, but I think it's so common among us, and we don't see it, those who feel that they have left their, at least the, you know, their useful vocations,
yes,
behind. I'm talking here about, usually in the church we refer to them as shut-ins. Very often it's someone who's confined to home or bed, either at home or in a nursing home or assisted living, something along those lines. Does the doctrine of vocation apply to them?
Absolutely.
And it applies to them, it applies to every Christian, regardless of the physical condition they're in, regardless of the temporal condition they're in. They might be in a prison camp, in some foreign land, in a time of war. As long as there is life and breath, they have a vocation, because the most important aspect of vocation is not our giving, but our receiving the love of God in Christ. The highest worship of God, according to the gospel, is the desire to receive Christ and his mercy and forgiveness. And that is done by us as Christians throughout our lives. Even the most infirm and sickly, the person who's in the nursing home. And I can imagine someone hearing me say that and say, but what purpose does that serve? Well, the angels of heaven rejoice when the heavens are opened and the gifts of Christ's grace are showered upon the sinners. That's why the multitude of the heavenly host praise God on the Judean hillside when the angel of the Lord announced the birth of Christ to the shepherds, because God was pouring out his blessings from heaven upon us through his Son, blessings that we could not earn or deserve. We are so conditioned that to receive what God gives is second and less significant than to do something for God. That goes back to our earlier question in the email about the difference between the Lutheran understanding of vocation and evangelicalism. Well, that's completely backward. God's greatest joy is that we receive his mercy and grace in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that that the shut-in doesn't have wonderful things that God, by the call of the gospel, gives him or her the privilege to carry out in love for the neighbor, not the least of which is prayer. To pray for the grandchildren, the children, the great-grandchildren, to pray for the pastor, to pray for the church. Prayer is central to vocation because it's the voice of faith that claims the promises of the gospel. And then there's another aspect, to be able to entertain, so to speak, visitors, to be able to entertain brothers and sisters in Christ and members of the family. And by entertain, I don't mean so much the doing of something for them. They may be unable to make a meal or do something like that. I'm talking about receiving them. And God works in a mysterious way in how he teaches other Christians the essential character of the Christian faith and life. When those Christians who are younger and more vigorous and vibrant and so forth see this elderly, infirm, sick Christian rejoicing in the love of God in Christ and receiving that, it is a powerful service of Christian love toward those who are otherwise physically stronger or mentally stronger to see that. And I see this all of the times when I go to shut-ins and bring them the Lord's Word and the Lord's Supper. So often, Todd, I feel more enriched and blessed, I think, than they do. Well, they're receiving the blessing of the Lord, and I'm getting something out of their reception of his gifts and how they then confess and rejoice in that. I see the power of the gospel at work in them, and that's part of their vocation.
We're talking about the Christian life, the Christian life of vocation on this Monday afternoon, March the 3rd. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. When we come back 10 more minutes with him, there's an email here from CJ, and he asks not so much about the person who is homebound or bedridden, but perhaps disabled, someone for whom it is all they can do to get up, feed themselves, dress themselves. We'll answer that question right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois, Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana, Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri, Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin, Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa, Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
The CLCC Spring Conference, Building Up the Body of Christ, is April 29th and 30th in Bloomington, Minnesota. Join us, won't you, with Pastors Jonathan Fisk, David Kind, and Rob Jarvis, and explore ideas for engaging youth and younger adults to become more involved in the life of the church. We hope you can be there with us. All the conference details are at theclcc.org. Building Up the Body of Christ, April 29th and 30th in Bloomington, Minnesota. Get registered today at theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest for another 10 minutes on this Monday afternoon. You were talking before the break about the person who is, well, the person who's kind of isolated by the by the circumstances of age or infirmity. We have an email from CJ. CJ says, I'm not talking about how we care for those who may be bedridden. There may be adults who aren't bedridden, but they're not really healthy enough to have paying jobs either, CJ writes. There are some who may extend all of their energy simply getting cleaned up, dressed in the morning. They have all their mental abilities. They can read a book, watch TV, use a computer. They may go out for lunch or dinner or go to church, but they do not have the health to have a job, get married, raise kids, and they're more than likely to live this way for decades, perhaps all of their lives. What are your thoughts there, Pastor Bender?
Well, those are the people that I was just talking about. Those are included in that. And we don't think, this is how we're conditioned, and this is wrong, we don't think that receiving the Lord's good gifts of mercy and salvation in word and sacrament is the most important thing. And we don't think that that's central to our calling as Christians. And that is absolutely central. Whether we are erudite scholars, brilliantly talented in some field or enterprise in this life, and able to work a job that influences many, that's quite beside the point. Going back to what you asked us to comment on earlier, you know, does God need this work? Who is the work done for? And the answer is no, he does not. We need him, and we need his service to us, the service of our Lord. And every Christian, as long as they have breath in them, that is the most important thing of their salvation. Well, that's not enough. I've got to be able to do something. My life isn't worth something unless I can do something. That is what you are called to. You're called to receive. And God will bring forth out of your reception of his gifts the loving service to others. As I said, it may be in simply the example of what it is and how the gospel has strengthened such a person to live under this cross of affliction and to pray for those in need, his family, his church, his pastor, other Christians, enemies of the gospel, and so forth. But this idea of the Christian vocation
centering first and foremost of reception is something we really just have to keep driving home.
You write this, I want to know what you mean. None of us enters into Christian vocation by any strength of our own. Our vocation is a workshop of the Holy Spirit. What do you mean by that?
It is a paraphrase of the portion of the Small Catechism under the third article, which says, we can't by our own reason or strength believe. Well, if we can't by our own reason or strength believe, we can't by our own reason or strength live either the Christian life. It's rather in the context of the experience of our weaknesses, of our failings, of our shortcomings in the stations in life that we have, that we become receivers of the Lord's grace through which the Holy Spirit works his good work in us. And so the Christian husband learns what it is to be a husband who loves his wife as Christ loved the church, not by going to a class that tells him, love your bride like Christ loved the church, but he learns it most by experiencing how he is not like Christ and how Christ takes him in and forgives him as a member of his bride, the church. He learns to live as a husband toward his wife by Christ being husband to him, forgiving him, showering the undeserved mercy upon him in his weaknesses and in his failings. And that's characteristic regardless of what station in life we have as Christians. That's what God is always doing for us and why I call it the workshop of the Holy Spirit. He takes our broken lives, our failures, our shortcomings, our sinfulness, and he ministers his grace to us. And the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus is the instrument by which the Spirit of God works his good in us and teaches us to love others, even as he has loved us.
Lutherans often talk about the Christian life also in terms of a life of daily repentance and the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
With about a minute or a minute and a half here before we conclude, Pastor Bender, how does that fit into this idea of vocation? Only about a minute.
You know, that's what we were on about with this whole discussion about the one's vocation as the workshop of the Holy Spirit. It's through our weaknesses and failings. We see our sin. We cry out to God, Lord, have mercy upon us. And he is merciful. The height and the breadth and the depth of his mercy, we can never exhaust the mercy of God. And it is from the mercy of God that we live. And so that's the life of daily contrition, the godly sorrow that the Lord himself works, the godly sorrow and repentance, and then by his word of mercy and absolution, the new man comes forth and arises in us, which is none other than Christ himself, the new man of faith, who vigorously holds on to God's love and exemplifies that love toward others.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. He's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled More Than a Job. Pastor Bender, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd. Always a delight.
One aspect of that life of Christian vocation for husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, is, of course, marriage. And the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March, is called Your Marriage by God's Design. It's actually written by two regular guests here on Issues, Etc., husband and wife, Scott and Julie Stiegemeyer. You can find out more about the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March, Your Marriage by God's Design, dealing in depth with the vocation of marriage at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. This is a great primer on the vocation of marriage for you and for your family, even for people who are considering the prospect of marriage, either nearby or far off. The toll-free number for Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Wendy Wright will be our guest on the other side of the break in Hour 2 of Issues, etc. You may have read about the FDA's decision to increase access to a generic form of the morning after pill. We'll find out what she has to say about that. Then Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will join us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson in the first 11 verses of Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus. Why is the doctrine of vocation so comforting? Well, Pastor Bender has made it quite clear. It's because the comfort of the gospel is there. Not in what you do, not in your service for your neighbor, not in your selfless love for neighbor. Those are all the fruit of the gospel. The gospel is Christ's service to you, that he considered you, neighbor, to spend his life, literally, into death on the cross for you. There's the comfort in the doctrine of vocation. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.